Welcome back. It's the Buckmaster Show. Get a chance over the next couple of weeks. Take a road trip. I strongly recommend a trip over to Silver City. It's only about a three-hour drive. Kind of a nice, get a nice kind of Four Seasons feel over there. Those of us that come from areas where we had Four Seasons, believe it or not, some people really miss the winter. Yeah, in the snow and all of that. I'm not saying you're going to get a lot of snow in Silver City, but you will get some more kind of wintry weather because it is a mile high elevation. Same as Denver, as Silver City, about 5,000 feet. But it really is a great environment. I'm looking at the midday temperature, 58 degrees. That's perfect to do some hiking in the Gila National Wilderness. Put on your down vest and just get out there and do some hiking. Start your search for things to do and places to stay by visiting southwestnewmexico.org. We are joined in studio with attorney Don Luce of Luce Law Group. Luce Law Group has offices in Tucson. Almost said Tunisia. No, I don't think, Don, you're over in North Africa. You're in Tucson and Phoenix. Mr. Luce is the Buckmaster Show legal contributor. He's the author of two very popular books, Arizona Laws 101, A Handbook for Non-Lawyers, and Estate Planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know. And both books are in their second printing. Don, how was your holiday season?
It was great, Bill. Thank you. And I hope yours was as well.
It was. It's great to kind of take a few days off. And we're back in the saddle here with our anniversary week. Don, we have talked about this vaccine mandate now. Well, the COVID's been going on nearly two full years, and we've been talking about all sorts of legal implications about vaccines in the workplace. Very interesting story out of California concerning a very well-known candy maker that is based in California.
Right, Bill. That's See's Candies, mm-hmm. and there is a lawsuit in California by a family who lost a husband and a father because he contracted COVID from his wife who worked at See's Candies. Mm. And so she brought a wrongful death action on her behalf and on behalf of the children, claiming that the employer was responsible for the death of her husband because the employer failed to ensure safety in the workplace. And you and I have spoken before about the importance of employers making sure that they offer a safe workplace for their employees because of the pandemic and the ever-changing look that it brings. It's especially important that all employers be vigilant to make sure that their workplaces are safe. And OSHA, which is in charge of workplace safety, actually requires that. And as we might talk about in a little while, OSHA has even promulgated regulations regarding COVID vaccinations. But back to the California story. So the employer said, no, You can't bring a wrongful death suit against us. If you have a claim, it would be a workers' compensation claim. Hmm. And the Court of Appeals in California said no. Hmm. They cited a similar case over a hepatitis infection and said the claimants in this case are going to be permitted to maintain a wrongful death action against the employer on the allegation that the company failed to ensure safety in the workplace. So very interesting case, but an example of what I think we're going to see in terms of a changing legal landscape for people who either themselves become ill workplace exposure, or in this case, family members who become ill as a result of workplace exposure.
In Arizona, are there more protections than California regarding this?
I think so. In 2021, the Arizona legislature sent to the governor hundreds of bills, over 400 of which were signed into law. One of them requires that employees who claim they got COVID due to the actions of their employers must prove that the employers acted with intentional misconduct or gross negligence. That's a very high bar. And if I might, I'd like to take just a second to explain what that means. We'll start with ordinary negligence. So ordinary negligence is where a person fails to act as a prudent person would act under similar circumstances. Mm-hmm. Okay. Gross negligence is entirely different. It requires extreme indifference or reckless disregard for the safety of others. So I would suggest, and I think we've spoken about this on prior shows, it would be very difficult to establish that an employer acted with gross negligence. That bar is very high, and it would be, I can't even think of an example of where an employer would be shown to have acted with extreme indifference or reckless disregard for the safety of his or her employees. But I'm not saying it's not impossible. Mm-hmm. It's very difficult to prove. So Arizona has a construct that is different than what we saw in the California case with the family that's suing See's Candies for wrongful death.
Let's talk a bit about where are we in the whole mandate, vaccine mandate story. This has gone to the U.S. Supreme Court.
Yeah, boy, it's a patchwork of cases and decisions on a nationwide basis. So let's start with the Biden administration's mandate that employers who have 100 or more employees are required to ensure that their employees are vaccinated. That actually is not enforceable currently.
No.
And the people who are challenging that are basically taking a three-tiered approach. They're saying, first, look, the vaccine mandates were imposed without proper public comment, so therefore they're not valid. Secondly, they weren't authorized by Congress. And thirdly, they infringe on states' rights to regulate public health matters. So we get back to that conflict that we've seen so many times where the federal government is enacting legislation that the states believe are uniquely theirs to act on, and the states are enacting legislation which the federal government says, no, you can't do that because of the preemption doctrine. In this case, courts have ruled that this mandate from the Biden administration ought to be put on hold until they have a chance to sort out the legal theories, which means that some employers are allowed to require vaccinations and some employers don't have to require vaccinations. The federal government, it seems, is allowed to require that healthcare workers be vaccinated.
Okay.
Now, it's interesting, at least in my mind, why that might be. And that's because healthcare providers, in large measure, receive Medicare and Medicaid benefits for the treatment that they render patients.
Okay.
And because they receive a federal benefit, federal law allows that they be required to have their workforces vaccinated.
Mm-hmm.
That same concept isn't true with respect to private employers.
Right.
So healthcare workers, for the time being, can be required to be vaccinated. Workers at other businesses may be required to be vaccinated if their employer says that they have to be, but the federal government can't require, at least presently, their employer to require the vaccination. Mm-hmm. So that's the distinction.
Now, if you work for the federal government, i.e. the military or the postal service or directly work for the federal government, they're going to have a little more, they will, this mandate will have a little more gravitas than it will for just a private employer with over 100 employees.
Agreed. The vaccine mandates for federal government employees and military remain in effect. And also, don't forget, the mask requirements for airline passengers and people using other public transportation, are that mandate is a federal mandate. So the federal government isn't powerless to require vaccinations and mask wearing, but the power is not unlimited. They can't require, as we've just discussed, private employers to take action, but they can require with respect to their employees that vaccinations or mask wearing be done.
So the it looks like that this gets back to the whole whether you're working for a so-called private employer or Uncle Sam. Isn't that kind of what the defining line is on this?
For the time being, yeah. With the exception of private employers who receive federal benefits. Healthcare workers,
right.
for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's another case that I found interesting, and this one is out of Pennsylvania, where a worker was fired because she tested positive for COVID-19. That's her claim.
Mm-hmm.
The federal court in Pennsylvania refused to dismiss her lawsuit, which alleges that her employer violated the ADA, or the Americans with Disabilities Act. And we've talked about that. An employer is required to provide reasonable accommodation.
Yes.
For employees who have religious objections or have medical disabilities.
Mm-hmm.
In this particular case, again, out of Pennsylvania, a worker claimed that on the same day that she notified her employer that she tested positive for COVID, she got fired. And so she brought a discrimination claim.
Mm-hmm.
So we can see that nationwide, literally from Pennsylvania to California, there is litigation arising as a result of this pandemic, and very interesting and unique legal issues are being argued on both sides.
Yep.
It's fascinating.
And it will... The snowball will continue to roll down the hill with COVID-related cases.
I think so. Mm. I was listening to Dr. Gottlieb over the weekend. He said that he believes only 1 in 10 cases are actually being reported.
Yeah, I heard that.
So that means it's underreported by a magnitude of 10. That is incredible. It's mind-blowing.
It really is. Don Luce, thank you very much, Don.
Thanks, Bill.
Don's the author of Arizona Laws 101, A Handbook for Non-Lawyers, and Estate Planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know. That will wrap it up for the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of attorney Don Luce and Tom Fairbanks, engineering and producing the show, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Hope you have a great afternoon.